want to continue. Well, first of all, to start with the series for this month. And if you could turn to John, the third chapter, familiar scripture, probably to all of us. John 3:16-18. That'll be our key scripture today. If you can stand in reverence to the word of God. Once again, it's John 3:16. We're going to read verses 16-18. And I'll read with you guys. If you're there, just say amen. All right. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Verse 17. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Verses 18. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. Father God, we just thank you for allowing us just to be together yet again. Father God, we thank you for showing us how you cared about us so much that you gave the greatest gift of all, Jesus, to us, Lord. As we set aside this time and this month just to focus on Jesus' birth, to focus on you, God, coming to us, we honor you and we praise you. We thank you no matter our age. You're speaking to us this morning, giving us a word, Father God, to prick our mind, to inspire us to continue to get into your word, Father God, and to love again, and to forgive again, and to have hope again, Lord. In your son Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. You may be seated. So the series this month at here at House of Judah is HOW, which is an acronym that stands for He's Out of the Womb. God is being revealed. He's out of the womb. God revealed. So can y'all just say how? I'm reminded of a song by Hillsong. It says, light of the world, you step down into darkness. Open my eyes, let me see. Beauty that made this heart adore you. Hope of a life spent with you. Then it says, here I am to worship. Y'all have heard that song before? Here I am to bow down. So in that song, it says, light of the world. So this morning, we're just going to briefly just discuss how the light has come into the world. And it just didn't stay there in the womb. It's revealed to all of us. Why? Because God loves us and he cares about us. So looking at John, we see here that God, so what? Y'all remember reading that over and over again as a kid? It's probably maybe one of the first scriptures you maybe memorized. I know in the black church, but we're going to push it now. But it's so true, though. It's a blessing because God so love the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have what? Eternal life. In 17, for God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Verse 18, whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God, the one and only Son. Today, I want to look at Jesus and how he accepted this challenge. He accepted this call that he had, and how you and I as well, we, just as Jesus, we have a purpose and we have a call that we have to accept. So as we look at this, we see that God gave a gift to the world, and this gift was Jesus. Wave your hands if you know Jesus is the greatest gift that we could ever receive. Now, this is a whole nother sermon, but we can break down Genesis 3:15. We can break down all of it. But Jesus is the greatest gift of salvation that we could ever receive. The second thing we're seeing here in John 3:16 is that Jesus, his calling was to save the world. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Some of us stop there. But going on to verse 17, we also see the third part, which is whoever believes in Jesus is not condemned. And as we accept our call and as we look at this, we have to look at what God did. God being perfect, holy, in every right as our judge, he decided not to condemn us to hell, not to condemn us to death, but he exhausted all of his resources so that we could have life. And we see verse 17 through 18. Some of us don't like this part, but this is the word of God. For God did not send his son into the world to be condemned, but to save the world through him. Oftentimes we want Jesus to condemn, but Christ came to be our Savior. And let the same mind that was in Christ Jesus be in us. Whether someone doesn't dress like we, remember that Christ didn't act like we want them to. We have to remember that Christ didn't come to condemn the world. He came to save the world. Whoever, verse 18, believes in him is not condemned. The Holy Spirit doesn't condemn you. The Holy Spirit convicts you. It's a difference. The world wants to tell you what you can't do and what you've done wrong. But God wants to tell you what you can do and who you are. That's a saving grace. The world needed a savior, so God gave a gift of his son. And whoever believes in his son, verse 18, is not condemned, but whoever does not believe, they've already stand in condemnation already by not believing that that Jesus is God's one and only son. Let's turn to John, the first chapter. Verse 1-4. Another familiar scripture. Walking it out today, House of Judah. So in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. Verse 2. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and this life was the light of all mankind. And then in verse 5, I didn't put it up there, but verse 5 says, the light shines in darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Once again, this is a whole nother sermon. But in Genesis 1:26, the Lord said, let us make man in our own image, in our own likeness. Us, as God is a triune being, he's the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, right? The Father sits on the throne. Holy Spirit, and the Father speaks the words. The Holy Spirit manifests the words. In Jesus, who we know, he is the Word. So in John 1:1-4, we see that in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God, and he was in the beginning. And through the Word, nothing was created. So God having the word with him already, he goes to the word and says, I need someone to be his savior. So God takes part of himself and he takes the word and he places this in a young virgin by the name of Mary. Pull up Matthew, verse 1:23. And it says, the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him what? Emmanuel. Can y'all just say Emmanuel? Which means God with us. Wave your hands if you remember reading this scripture. And they're saying Emmanuel. What's his name going to be? It's going to be Jesus. Emmanuel. Because now we see the word has become flesh and God dwells with us. God's dwelling with who? Us. Because God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. The word becomes flesh and God is physically dwelling with us. You can only accept your call through humility. We see here the word which we know as Jesus. Don't you think he had a pretty good gig? He was in heaven already, right? Not just being in heaven with God, part of God. And everything that was created, remember John 1, everything, nothing was created but through the word. It's hard to think you can go higher than that. But the word was presented an opportunity to level up with a special call. My last scripture I want to read today, Philippians 2. Write it down. I'll put it up there for you. Philippians 2, starting in verse 5. We see the Paul is saying here in Philippians. Notice it says, in your relationships with one another. He's talking to human beings here. In your relationship with one another, have the same mindset as who? Christ Jesus. Verse 6. Who being in the very nature of God, the word, right? Did not consider it equality with God. Something to be used to his advantage. So when we look at Jesus, we think, man, that's a superhero, man. Have y'all ever thought like that? Man, Jesus is doing things I could never do. Raise your hand, tell the truth. Christ said, greater things shall we do. And he knew it was going to be hard for us to realize that. He knew that we were going to think that he was just this great, who he is great. He knew it was going to be hard for us to understand and have the confidence. Because we have self-esteem issues sometimes, right? Am I the only one sometimes? But he knew it. He said, Lord, when he prayed in the Gospels, he said, I pray not for those who hear me and see me. Y'all know the scripture? He said, I pray for those who never see me and yet believe. Here, verse 6, it says, verse 7, it says, rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant. Good gracious. Being made in human likeness and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself. Just say humbled himself. By becoming obedient even to death on the cross. So the word, which everything was made through and in, and by serves everything that he created. Who is the Word serving? Humanity. Which the Word created humans. Imagine having a job so good with all the benefits, and then you get proposed to take a lesser job with less money. And then it's the people that you don't like because they got an attitude towards you, and they do you wrong, and they treat you wrong. And you find yourself being a servant to them. Let's go to the next verse, verse 9. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name above every name. Verse 10, it says that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. And 11, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is what? It's Lord, to the glory of God the Father. You can only accept the purpose and the call that you have if you humble yourself, bro. Don't think more highly of yourself than you ought to. What is humility? If you could put that definition up for me. Humility is a modest, a low view of one's own importance. Humbleness. I'm here just talking to you this morning to remind you, if you could put up Philippians 2 again, verse 5, as you dwell and work each and every day with your family, men at home, don't go around yelling, fussing, being dogmatic, because that's not good leadership. If you have to fuss and yell, that means you may not be in the position that you think you're in. In your relationship with one another, have the same mindset of Christ. What was that mindset? Who, being in the very nature high as God. We have to have the same mindset. If you think you're great, why do you keep trying to keep everything that you think can make you win? You flaunt your money, your house, because we think these things make us great. But living in the nature of God, he knew that if he came as himself, he would be illegal. Why? Because he made himself illegal. That's a whole nother sermon. But he derobed himself of God. And he came in equality as a man, as you and I. Can you go to verse 7? Rather, he made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness and found in appearance as a man. He humbled, just say humble. He humbled himself by becoming obedient. Obedient even to death. The first obedience was what we call Christmas. The Word had to agree. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Nothing was created but through the Word, and God goes to himself, and he agrees. He agrees to be the first obedience, which is Christmas. And he continues to obey, so much so that as Jesus is living, he's baptized by John the Baptist, and the sky opens up, right? And a dove descends, the Holy Spirit descends down like a dove. And God cracks open the sky. And what does God say? This is my son, who I am well pleased. Why is he well pleased? Because his son was still being obedient from birth, even in the middle of the dash. Because life is in a dash, right? You got your birthday, you got your death day. And obedient to death on the cross. So having that same mindset as Christ, just as Christ had a purpose and a call, we have one too. During this time, my wife and I, we love to do something. Watch one of our favorite movies, Friday After Next. You ever watch Friday After Next? Oh, my bad. I forgot to say, let's put our halo to the side right quick. Y'all raise your hand if you ever seen it. Wait, do it real quick. And then Friday After Next, you know, it's Day-Day, Craig, Pinky, right? So I'm going to give you 10 seconds, okay? Go ahead and whisper your favorite line. Tell it to your neighbor. I'm going to give you 10 seconds. One, two. Look, I see y'all laughing already. But, man, my favorite line in the movie, I had a lot of favorite lines, but one of my favorites that just makes me just laugh and cry is when at the end he's running, he's getting chased. You remember Ricky Smiley's getting chased? Y'all remember that? He's running through people's houses. That part made me mad too. I'm like, why are you messing up people's houses, man? And he's running, And then one part he's in the house and they finally kind of catch him, open up the door. And do y'all remember what he said? He said, hey, you got a calling on your life. Y'all ever seen that part? So when you watch it this Christmas, laugh when you see that. They're about to hear him and say, you got a calling on your life. House of Judah this morning, I just want to remind you, just as the word, he already had a purpose. God comes to us and reminds us that is not over with yet. Because as you get older and accomplished in your careers and in life, you just want to retire. But is it really such a thing as retiring? Is anybody retired in here? Even when you retire, God is still saying things to you in your heart. He goes to the Word and he says, Word, I have another assignment for you. And just as the word leveled up, the Lord has called us to go from faith to faith, to glory to glory. No matter your age, the Lord is calling you to do a special purpose that he's called you to do. But here's the thing. God will prepare you for your calling, but you have to believe in his son and allow the Holy Spirit to groom and cultivate you. We oftentimes become fearful because we feel like we are not capable. But as God is calling us, even you that's been successful, he's still calling. He's still requiring. He's requiring you to level up. Allow the Holy Spirit, the same Spirit that rose Jesus from the dead, allow that same Spirit to cultivate you. What does that mean? To groom you, to teach you things that you don't know. It took Jesus 33 1/4 years before Jesus went to the cross. The same one that we're talking about here, that derobed himself of God, wouldn't you think he would be a baby on the cross? Wouldn't you think that? Because he was God. He knew. He had already been in heaven. He had already seen. But it took 33 1/4 years for him to get to the cross. And it took 33 years for him to start his ministry. Why? because there was a process that needed to happen. It was a process that needed to go through. My birthday is Tuesday and I turned 34. So Jesus was my age when he started his ministry. I feel like I done lived a long life, man. So if it took Jesus from birth to go for a long time, when you accept your call, don't be surprised if it takes time for cultivation to happen. Don't be surprised if it doesn't come next year, next month, 2 years, 3 years. This work that God has started in you, he's going to complete it and finish it. The thing, as we have this mind that's in Christ, as we look, yes, it's Dada. That's my baby. She's going to keep saying Dada. As we look at this mind that's in Christ and we try to have this same mind in us, going to a new level may require you to become a baby again. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God and the Word was God. Wouldn't you say the Word was established? But the Word found itself becoming a baby. Good gracious. The Word found itself becoming a servant. Starting over again. It's the same journey, the same process, but it found itself becoming a baby. You too. When God is calling you to level up, it means he's going to make you a baby again. What does that mean? When Jesus was a baby, God was particular with the mother that he chose. Right? Matthew 1 verse 23. It says, behold, a virgin shall be with child. I was here last year. And I was able to speak and talk about Mary and the importance of that whole journey. If Jesus was the Word, is a baby, but as a baby was very particular in which the womb that he went into, us too, as we become babies again, every level you don't know. What's going on? Every new level, you need to be picky with the people that's nourishing you. Every new level, a baby in the womb is nourished through the umbilical cord. The baby is literally dependent on the mother to make the right choices. Continuously call. As you level up into your new level that God is continuously calling you to, you probably are established like the Word. You have a positive reputation in ministry, but the Lord is calling you to another level. You're retired, but he's calling you to be a baby again. I know this don't feel good because you just want to sit in the house and chill. Your bank account looks good, but he's calling you to start again. The same journey, but a new checkpoint. Why does it take humility? It takes humility to be able to become a baby again. It takes humility to be able to do what the Word did and made himself a servant, because you already have started a reputation. You already got a name for yourself. People know you about that career. They know you. But for you to go in an arena that you know nothing about, a space that you know nothing about, that's uneasy. Am I talking to anybody in here? It's uneasy. It's uncomfortable. You're in your 60s, but you feel like you're 19 again because you're in a new space. Your children have left the house. You have an emptiness, and it's uncomfortable because you feel like you're reinvigorating yourself again. You're trying to find yourself again. You just got in a divorce, and you're trying to find yourself again. Trust this new level that God is taking you to. And as you trust, be picky with the people around you. And as you trust this new level and let the Holy Spirit groom you and cultivate you, guess what? Be humble. Stop bringing up what you used to do. Stop bringing up your accomplishments. Because your accomplishments is not you. Your soul, your spirit, your heart, that's you. You judge a man by the fruits that he bears. Brag about being humble. Brag about having forgiveness. Brag about having self-righteousness, self-control. That's how you continue to grow as you're becoming a new baby. Am I preaching to anybody in here today? I'm really not preaching. Am I teaching to anybody in here today? Becoming a baby again does not feel good, but it's needed. God so loved the world that his son was not darkness. The world was dark. You have like you say you do, become a baby. Go in a new arena because it's dark. Go to that new community because it's dark. And I promise that God, he'll grace you for this moment. Because if you, just like the word, can humble yourself and derobe yourself of everything you think who you are, every accomplishment, every great thing you think you are. Philippians 2, I think it starts in verse 9. Notice it says something here. Therefore, God did what? Exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that was above all name. See, I would think the word, in the beginning was the word, the word was with God, the word was God. That's a heck of a resume. Everything that was created came through the word. But because the word humbled himself and went into the womb and humbled himself and was obedient and went and became a new baby, the word leveled up and the word got a name that's above all names. See, before we call it the word, but now we call him the Almighty One. Hope, Messiah, Mighty One, the mediator between you and I for the Father, the light of the world, the Lamb of God, the Lion in the tribe of Judah, the King of Kings, the head of the church, the great high priest, the deliverer, the chief cornerstone, the bridegroom, the bread of life. We call him Emmanuel. God is with us. The highest name above all names. Why? Because he humbled himself. We live in a world that says, make your name great. But the kingdom is about the servants. With everyone standing. Jesus came to them and he said, the greatest in the kingdom, do y'all remember? If you don't know, it's okay. He said, the greatest in the kingdom are the servants. Whew. The word became the greatest name. Not because he had a lot of Grammys. Not because he had a lot of accomplishments. The greatest workers of Christ, I truly believe, are people that you never even heard of. Because they're not looking for a name. The word was content When you're content, that's when God knocks. Because he can use you. You're not looking for fortune or fame. He'll make you a baby. So God can be revealed through you.